Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I think about being a Christian, I base the most important things in my life on the Bible. I think you probably do the same. For example, what we believe comes from the Word of God. How we live our Christian lives, that comes from the Word of God. And where we will spend eternity, we know that, again, from the Bible, which we call the Word of God. So is this book, then, fully reliable, or are we believing things that maybe are not true? Are we living in such ways that really don't matter? And is there even an eternity? We need to know this book is fully reliable in order to know the answers to those questions. My prayer is that God will use today's sermon and the ones in the future weeks to confirm to us that truly this book is the infallible Word of God. It will come to pass, every bit of it, and we can truly rely on it. Today's question: can anyone really predict the future? In today's sermon, I want to talk a little bit about some basics about making predictions or prophecies, and then go to some predictions that have been made, were known, but failed, and then to go to just a few in the Bible that were made, that were extraordinary, and actually came to fulfillment. So I hope this is a source of encouragement to you today, not only to you, but I hope it equips you so that you might say, oh, I have friends who are skeptics. Maybe I should take a copy of this sermon and somehow get it to them, and maybe God will use it to help them understand that the Bible is God's very word to us. Some prediction basics, first of all. Anyone can make a right guess, can't they? For example, even people who gamble, sometimes they win. So is that something they really did, or it just kind of worked out that way? Well, it's a guess on their part. They picked certain numbers for the lottery, whatever it might have been, but they guessed, they were right, and they won. But there's a big difference, though, between guessing and prophesying. Guessing sometimes is right. Not very often, though. Sometimes it's like a 1 in a million chance of being able to guess right. But prophesying, if it is true prophesying, it is always, always right. The Lord told us in Deuteronomy 18 how to identify false prophets. He wrote, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass, that is a word the Lord has not spoken." You can imagine false prophets in the Bible. They are giving the impression that they are speaking for the Lord. They say certain things, but the things do not happen. And God is saying, oh, you've just identified that person as a false prophet because he said it. He said it came from me, and yet it did not happen. That's not from me. God is saying, whenever I say it, it's going to happen exactly as I have said. One example of that would be what God said to Moses about Jesus. He said, "I will raise up for them, for the people, if you will, a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So the Lord is telling Moses about a great prophet yet to come. What happened? We jump ahead to the time of Jesus, and the Bible, and Jesus himself said, "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak." We see other places in the Bible too, where the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Why should we listen? Why should you listen? Why should I listen? Because he is speaking the very words of God. How does prophecy actually work? Let's understand this principle first of all. God declared in Isaiah 46, he said, "I am God, and there is none like me." What makes God so different, if you will? Here is one thing that makes him different. He said, "I am God, there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning. None of us here, we can kind of guess at the end what the end of the sermon might be like, what the end of the service might be like, what the end of the day might be like, but none of us really know. But God knows the end from the beginning. That's an awesome thing that's incomprehensible for us. Now, some people would say he knows because every single event, he is causing it to happen. So that's how he knows. But that's not true, though. God knows because he is God. God knows by his divine foreknowledge. Some things he is causing, some things he has predestined, but most things he simply knows because he is God. He is not bound by time like we are. We have to wait till we get to the point before we know. God's not bound by time, so he knows in advance. So God knowing in advance, he is able to take someone back here in time, and by the Holy Spirit, he's able to move that person to write down certain things, and then those certain things happen because God looked ahead and he already knew. So he's simply telling this person, write it down, and then it happens. The Bible tells us, here's the key passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man." So any legitimate prophecy, it's not like some guy thought it up and wrote it down or spoke it. That's not how it comes about. So no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here are men, even sinful men, just like you and me, but God chose to use them, and God moved them by the Holy Spirit to either speak or to write down his very word. He knew exactly what was coming, so they wrote it down, and it happened just as he said. That's what confirms that this book has to be from God. You know, there are many religions in the world today, and they all have their so-called holy books, if you will. Right here it says Holy Bible. This is our holy book. But in those other holy books, what is lacking? There is no prophecy. There is no prophecy. So their so-called gods, they don't know the end from the beginning. They don't know what is coming. But we're talking about the true God here. We're talking about the God who does know the end from the beginning, and he inspired people to write this down, and then it happens just as he said, and this book is confirming that it has to be from the one true God. Let me give you some examples here how many people have tried to prophesy, and yet they have failed. Let's understand that with these particular people, I can't say for certain in every case, but in general, what they're basically saying is that I'm going to tell you what's happening in the future because God is communicating it through me. So they're giving the impression that they are prophets or prophetesses, and yet let's see how well they did. For example, we go to William Miller. He's the founder of the Adventist movement, and he predicted that Christ would return back in 1843. Well, he did not come in 1843, so William Miller said, I think he's going to come in October of 1844. He didn't come then either. What about Joseph Smith, the founder of the Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons, popular today with our presidential candidate? But he predicted back in 1832 that the New Jerusalem, you know, we talked about that in the book of Revelation. He predicted that the New Jerusalem would be built in the western boundaries of the state of Missouri and be dedicated by him. In other words, Joseph Smith said, we're going to go there, we're going to build it, and I'm going to dedicate it, 1832. What happened in 1833 in that area of the country? The people living there were so upset with the practices of the Mormons that they drove them out of the state. So it did not come about as he thought. How about Charles Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses? He predicted that the world would end in 1914. It did not. Going ahead a little bit later in time, we come to a woman named Jean Dixon. She was a psychic and many other things, but she gained some great popularity when she did predict that a new president would be assassinated. She did not name the president, but she said a new president would be assassinated. And I don't know the time frame here, but I don't believe it was real long after that President Kennedy was assassinated. So people kind of put two and two together and they said, she must be speaking for God. She must know the future, so let's pay attention to her. Now, if she would have named him and given like the day and the time, well, maybe she would be speaking from God then, but she kind of gave a general prophecy, if you will, and it just happened to kind of line up with reality. But people got interested in her, though. So they went to her and they said, let's test some more of your prophetic abilities and see if you're actually able to predict the future. So they went to her and they wanted her to predict the winner of each of the presidential elections in 1952, 1956, and 1960. How well did she do? Well, she missed every winner of every presidential election, and she missed every candidate in every party for each of those elections. In other words, she could not even determine the two people that would be running against each other, let alone which one would actually win. There are other things which we could say about Jean Dixon as well. Moving on to Hale Lindsey. Hale Lindsey is an author, probably heard of him. He predicted the rapture in 1981, the end of the world in 1988, and yet we're still here. Taking us right up to last year now, we come to a man named Harold Camping. And Harold Camping is that owner of about 50 different radio stations, I think, around the country. So he has a huge voice to get whatever he wants to say out to a lot of people. He predicted that the world would end last year on May 21st. It did not end on that day, so he came out publicly and he basically said, I missed the calculations here. It's actually going to be exactly 6 months later. So not May 21st, but October 21st. Well, that didn't happen either. So what God wants us to understand with all these different people, they were not speaking for God because what they said did not come to pass. When people are speaking for God, when they say it, it actually happens. And it doesn't happen some of the time or most of the time. It happens all of the time if it is truly from God, because God knows the end from the beginning. Only God has succeeded. Only God knows the future. I want to read to you a little bit of a lengthy quote here from Dr. D. James Kennedy. Many of you have heard the name from his famous evangelism course years ago called Evangelism Explosion. And God has worked through that ministry to bring, countless people to faith in Christ. We might not agree with 100% of the theology, but it can be a very useful method in helping us to know where people are at with God. Do they know him as Savior or not? And then knowing how to approach them with the Word of God in order to share the truth with them so that God might use that truth to bring them to Christ. Dr. Kennedy, though, a great man of God, he's gone on to heaven now, but he wrote this summary of biblical prophecies. He wrote, "They deal with almost every nation and scores of cities with which Israel had some dealings. It cannot be said that these prophecies were written after the events, for many of the events took place hundreds or even thousands of years after the prophecy was made. Nor can it be said that these events are vague or obscure, because they are highly specific in their details." Not like what Jean Dixon did. Well, there's going to be a new president that's going to be assassinated. That's not how the Bible works. The Bible is highly specific in its details. He goes on to write, "Nor can it be said that they were lucky guesses, because there are over 2,000 of them which have infallibly come to pass. Nor can it be said that these were things which were likely to take place, because they were indeed extremely unlikely events." Let me share with you now a few examples of some extremely unlikely events. For example, if we go back to the days of Noah and the flood, God said to Noah, "I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth." Now, keep in mind when God said this to Noah, we believe we were about 1,650 years from creation. Now, we don't know how many people there were on planet Earth at that time, but there could have really been a million people. If you think about people, how long they lived, Eve, maybe she had 50 or 100 children. If you think about how long she lived. So the earth was, you know, being, God told them to be fruitful and multiply, and that was going on pretty rapidly. So there were a large number of people. So when you think about God making this kind of a statement, it's a huge statement. Again, he said, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, the Lord said to Noah. And then you know what happened there. Noah and his family, they started to construct this ark, this huge, huge ark that if you went from this wall of the building to the back wall of this section of the building and multiply that by three, then we would be getting close to the length of the ark. It was a huge, huge ark. And then they're building it here on dry ground. They're building it on a place where there has probably never been any water. People thought that Noah and his family were crazy, but yet they were proclaiming to the people, repent and believe and come with us before it is too late. But everyone rejected. So what happened then? God said it would happen. Did it happen? The Bible records. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. So God said it, and then it happened. Now, science today wants to say, oh, there was no worldwide flood. But isn't it interesting, though, you can look on the highest mountains in the world and you can find remnants on those highest mountains of ocean life. How did that ocean life get to the highest mountains? That's because, just as the Bible says, the highest mountain was even covered with water. There was no dry ground where anybody could go. There's evidence all over the place. People who reject God, they also reject the evidence, but it is out there. Let's keep in mind that the flood is always pointing to the final judgment. People who don't believe in God, they reject the worldwide flood, they reject Jesus Christ as Savior, they reject the final judgment. God wants us to conclude and say, okay, wait a minute, there's evidence all over the place, so the great flood had to have occurred, and because that occurred, and it talks about it in this book, then because this book talks about the great judgment to come, since the flood happened, then we can also know that the great judgment will come just as this same book says. How about this one on the topic of cannibalism? Would that ever happen amongst people who are good, decent people? God said through Moses, "You shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters." If someone told us that, we would say, never, ever would I do that. I don't care how hungry I am. I don't care what the situation is. Never, ever would I even consider such a thing, let alone do it. That's probably how the people felt about it. But God said it, and what happened? Well, it was a good number of years later, and it was when the city was under siege, and the people were extremely hungry, and the Bible says, notice what it says here carefully, the hands of compassionate women. I'm not talking about people who are like wicked, evil people who are doing bad things. The hands of compassionate women have boiled their own children. They became their food. God looked ahead. God saw it happen. God knew it would happen. God had people write it down, and then it happened. God's done that, like Dr. Kennedy said, God has done that thousands of times in his word. Let's go on to some good news here in closing. How about with salvation? God spoke to the devil himself in the Garden of Eden, and God promised him that the Savior would come and the Savior would destroy him. God said to the devil, he, talking about the Savior, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. If our heel is bruised, it might hurt, and it might hurt pretty bad, just like this right here. But if you take a serpent and you crush its head, what happens? Then the serpent is done. That's what happened. That is what our Savior came to do, and that is what he accomplished. And the Bible tells us about it. Going ahead to Hebrews 2, it says, Jesus shared in our humanity. In other words, he put on flesh and blood. He is the Son of God in flesh and blood. He shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. That is what Jesus did for you and me. He destroyed sin. He destroyed death. He destroyed the devil. In Christ, we win. Can anyone really predict the future? Many people have tried, but only God can truly do it. So what should we conclude here today? Knowing that God can do it, knowing that God has done it in his word, let us rely on God's word. Let us know that all of his promises are true, and let us be sure that based on what the Bible says, let us be sure that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And all God's people said, Amen.